Today we've got an exciting day. I don't know if you guys remember, but a few weeks ago, we had Sean Lane came up and he shared his testimony, and we got to hear how God worked in his life. And I can tell you, two lives. One of somebody in the church service that came here, and then I got a phone call of somebody who heard Sean's testimony online and said, "Hey, I need that hope." And that's power. And as a church, that's what we should be doing. We should be celebrating and talking about God's power and His hope and His ability to change lives. And when we talk about testimonies, so many times we think of the salvation testimony, about the coming to Christ and what's your story and how you came to Christ. And that's what we share. Those are very, very good testimonies. They're very, very good stories. Unfortunately, in my life, I have found that some of my better testimonies are my recovery testimonies. Sometimes where I messed up. Sometimes where I screwed up, but God's grace was bigger. And I can sit down and talk to somebody and say, "You know what? I messed that up, but God's love was better. God's grace." There's been a lot of recovery, right? And so we hear those words. But there's also another type of testimony. There's a testimony where we tell of God's power, right? And where He's working in and through His people and through His church. And today we're going to hear that testimony. We're going to celebrate that testimony, right? Now, we know that if we are doing the things of God, if we're doing the things that He tells us, we know that He's going to be with us. He promised that in Scripture. And I'm going to go to this. I'm going to read from Matthew 28. I'm going to start in verse 19. It says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And behold, I am with you always till the end of the age. Does this verse sound familiar to you, church? Have you heard this verse before? This is the central focus of our church, right? I've been here 6 months. This is the third time I've preached on this verse, right? Some of you are starting to get it. Some of you say, "Oh, we're here to make disciples, and we're going to make disciples." It's starting to set in, and it's kind of scary, right? When we talk about that God calls us to make disciples, it gets really scary. And we start seeing questions like, "I don't even know what that means. How am I supposed to go make disciples if I don't know what that means?" We see things like, "What materials should I use?" Right? There's been another question about, "How do I do that?" or "How do I find someone to disciple?" Paul, who's one of the greatest disciple makers that we ever seen, has written books, and we go back and we study it. And I just love his thing. He says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." Right? So when we talk about disciples, it starts with us. But I want to promise you something. That if you love Jesus and you've committed to following Jesus and you delight yourself in Him and you take the Great Commission seriously, right? You're here to make disciples. He will be with you. And I know that because He promised it. He said right here, "And behold, I will be with you always till the end of the age." And some of us, when we start to make disciples, we don't believe that promise, or we don't trust that promise. And I know, because I often look at myself and I struggle with that. And I say, "God, I'm trying to make disciples, I'm doing, but this isn't working out right. This isn't working out like I had in my brain. This is too hard or too difficult, or I don't know what I'm doing. I don't feel like You're here." But that's a promise that He made. And we know that He is Aaron. And today, I want to introduce some of you. Some of you have known Him for years, but I want to introduce some of you to Lito Medina and his wife. She wouldn't come up here, but I said I was going to point her out. There she is. Raise your hand. Rosemary, right? And when we talk today, we're going to be talking about the couple. You're just representing the couple, right? We. So when he says "we," you now know who he's talking about, right? And I want you to hear their story. I want you to hear how God was working in their lives when they committed to making disciples. It wasn't an overnight thing. It wasn't easy, and it sure hasn't taken the plan you thought. It's been a long process, and they actually started long before they realized what God was going to have him do in the near future, right? And they learned very, very quickly that when they committed to making disciples, that God was with them. Right? In the past, before they even figured out what was going on, we know that God was with them when they committed to make disciples. and they're going to be leaving us soon. And as a church, we're going to be sending you out. As a church, we're going to be praying for you and loving you and supporting you as you make disciples in Mindanao, Philippines, is where they will be moving to. They're going to be working with the tribals, right? And I'm going to steal all of your stories. So I'm going to turn this over to you and just give us a little bit of background of how you got from, hey, Lord, we're going to commit to making disciples, to working with nurses, to being at the doorstep of Mount Gilead Tribal School. Go ahead.
It says there, surely, and then always, the very strong word, assurance. And we didn't know that back in the 1960s. I courted my wife during high school, and she's a Protestant. I was a lukewarm Catholic. She grew up in the farm. I grew up in the street, shining shoes, caddy boys, in a bowling, just to earn not my pocket money, but for our food on the table. I'm from a broken family, and I know what is hardship. I grew up, I didn't understand back then why. It's a daily living. There's no comparison with other people. And after college, my wife migrated here, 1981. She grew up in a farm and became a nurse. I grew up on the street in the golf course. I became a soldier. And all those years, it was hard just to earn the food on the table, living with my grandma and my mom and two brothers. And it's just way of life. And I can say now it was hard. And then from there, 1981, my wife was planted by God over here. And then I followed 1983. I thought it was the crossroad of my life, out of material things. Didn't realize that upon coming over here, almost a year, I have no job. And God's blessings, 3 days in a week, they picked me up for a Bible study, all over Simi Valley, downtown LA. And didn't realize that where I was as a lukewarm Catholic was way off. And then all these things, working in a 7-Eleven, working in a gasoline station back then in Hawthorne, Inglewood, the Lord trained me how, but I didn't realize then, how to be a poor. Not realizing, well, going back from the plane, I have only $50 in my pocket. $50. My wife sent me that for a pocket money coming from the Philippines over here. All those things, out of hardship, He blessed us with 2 boys, 3 grandchildren, and abundantly. And then I was wondering why I was plucked out from the mud to the pavement, from poverty to abundance. It was mind-boggling. I have only 2 choices, not realizing. Either unfold myself, enrich myself, or what is the revelation of God? The revelation over 10 years, we want to go back there. I don't know for what reason. And then, when I enrolled at the Golden Gate Baptist Seminary, missiology, it reveals everything. I had to go back to where I was, where I know what is poor among the people, and reveal to them, answering the Great Commission, answering to the Great Commission of surely, and I will always be with you to wherever. So about 10 years ago, we decided we will go back, and we did 2 short missions for the past 2 years, including the last week, 3 weeks. And we learned from the tribal group in Mindanao, the southern part of the Philippines, that there were so poorer than us, barely making, sometimes missing a lunch and a breakfast, kids and adult people. It broke our heart. While we are here, sometimes throwing food. And that conviction, the first mission trip, we found the Gilead training, Bible training school. They're out of school youth, third grader dropouts, fourth grader dropouts. They can read a little bit, but all things they do, their marching chant was for Jesus. Whenever it's a tough time, for Jesus. And then the second trip is the tribal conference. The tribal conference from different villages about 100 miles, 100 kilometers away, we were expecting about 600 to 700. So I requested from the leadership of our church if we can send ready Bibles to be ordered in the Philippines, and God's blessing, we got those Bibles, and during the conference, they were all wiped out. They were all given to them. Thousands attended instead of 600. We were overwhelmed. These are grade school to high school. And probably I can count with my hands, one hand, our colleges. And many of them want to, these are tribal people. Many of them want to attend a tribal Bible schools. It turned out that among these churches, they have their own tribal Bible schools, not only Gilead. And then we helped the Gilead, we supported the pastor, and we came back. It was exhausting. It was rewarding, revealing, and back, can we say, comfort? But for us, it's normal to leave there. The conviction in our heart was that many Caucasian missionaries from the United States go there and die. And die, literally. Out of blast, out of kidnappings. You know, Burham, Bill Hides. It convicted me. What am I doing here? What are we doing here? God bless us, and we know that people here are going over there just to die for the sake of Christ, for the name of Christ. That was the main conviction why we went there. And we went there. And we're going there permanently. And out of our blessings of the Lord, we will share with them. And we will be a self-supporting missionary there, but our church will be hooking up us with the IMB people over there, which I am blessed that Pastor mentioned them, that they are there, embedded over there. And it's just God's blessing just to sit down here and report to you in the next minute a film clip of the short, compact, 4-5 days or 7 days of the as much as we can document and report to you. And this will be our plan, a quarterly report through visual report, not a statistic, but visual report, so you will be updated quarterly. And we will be updating the leadership quarterly. And the our plan for the Gilead school, we call it tribal school, will be increasing the number of tribal student, Bible student, increasing them, and or connecting with the other Bible satellite. They are very hungry. They sometimes bypass the secular school, the grade school, the elementary, the high school. They like the Bible school, male and female. And we need your prayers for that, especially a lot of female want to get in. And we're not ready for that, but the Lord will provide how to do it. And something like introducing co-ed in that kind of a rudimentary type of Bible school. And I thank you for all your prayers. My wife and I came back intact and a little bit exhausted, But just very glad to report to you for the next probably up to 10 minutes.
Yeah. You kind of cheated a little bit. You skipped right some of the meat of the things. But as we send Lito out, we wanted to have an understanding of where he has come from and what he has done and how God has called him and his wife into disciple making. And we talked about that when they came, God had them sponsor Filipino nurses in the Philippines. And they said, okay, we want to do that. We want to help train them and get them into the workforce and get them to where they're teaching the gospel. But what we learned is what happened to those nurses.
Yeah, for many years, since 1985 or 84, we endeavored to send our relatives and non-relatives, my wife's side and on my side, to send, can't afford, want to go to school student. And our favorite course was nursing. Nurse here, nurse there. They're all over the world now, in Europe, in Canada, in the Middle East. They're all successful. We ask them not to think about us paying back. Us, no. Pass it around. Send somebody among the people you know. But kind of frustration because after many, many, most of them nurses, God says, that's enough. Send pastors to seminary. We did endeavor to send that pastor, sponsor the full scholarship. And from there, the Lord directed us to Mount Gilead because that's his mission ground, Mount Gilead.
So in your heart, you were making disciples that were going to teach someone and tell someone of the gospel in the Philippines. And God said, well, we're going to train them in the Philippines, but then we're going to send them out to the world.
Yes.
And you said, oh, okay, we'll do that. But then you said, no, we want the Lord. This is where our heart is. And you went to the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Manila. And then that's where you get connected with Mount Gilead.
Mount Gilead.
Right? And you follow this trail. And God is using your steps. And then you're seeing that the way that you grew up and the relationships that you had, not only from the nursing, but from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and those connections, that they all led you to Mount Gilead to actually work with pastors and to teach pastors how to teach and instruct and help those live the life of Christ and how to disciple them. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Okay, we're good, right?
Uh-huh.
Yep. But then, so when we looked at that whole past, we say, and we know that when Paul, when he was talking to the Christians in Rome, he told them, he said, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purposes. And each step you take, you start looking at the past and seeing how it fits together to this time.
Yeah, the big factor there, all things work for good. Originally, our plan, about 7-10 years ago, we will go to a mission field. They call it Marawi City, the war-torn area where the ISIS captured the city, literally, with high-power gun, and then for 5 months, it was a war. Before that, that's our target, because I was assigned there for 4 years, and I know the city street by street, and it is 98% Muslim. But I was assigned there for 4 years, so it was my favorite. But the Lord slapped a plan. No, that's not the plan. And then, boom, the war came. I was stunned. The events the Lord revealed to us, meaning don't go there, I want you somewhere. And it could have been an easy target for hostages. They took 300 hostages. The entire city and the university, they took over, and now it's a ghost city. They bomb, it's a ghost city. Could have been worse, but God knows better. Everything really worked according to his plan, not our plan.
And as we look at the past, we can see step by step that God was with you and your family. And then you get this opportunity to go to Mount Gilead and teach. And several weeks ago, we had you up here and we prayed for you. The day before you left, there was some anxiety. There were some questions about what was God going to do on this trip? Were you prepared to teach this trip? How was God going to use you? What was going to happen? We're planning for 600 or 700, but there might be 100. We don't know what the weather's going to be like. All of these things. And this anxiety as we prayed about it. And then when you got there, we found out that God was with you. And you've told some of them the answers. We were thinking, man, we're planning for 600 or 700. That's the top number. That's a victory. And then there are over 1,000 people show up. Right? They've got, you were showing me pictures of bamboo sticks. That's what they sat on. They put them on two rocks and they sat on them. And those were the lucky ones. The other ones stood up all day.
That's the church.
That's the church, right?
We don't have and they, it's a ground.
And you guys know people, they come in, they look at these, they're like, those aren't comfortable. I'm not staying. Right? And here we got 1,000 people sitting on bamboo sticks, wanting not just to hear the word of God. These are men that want to be discipled so they can disciple others.
Yeah.
Men and women. He told you that there was so over 1,000. The other thing you didn't mention, though, I'm going to spill these beans. Over 30 people got baptized in the river.
Mass baptism and mass wedding.
And a mass wedding. So as they're talking to these people and sharing them and saying, this is how you follow Christ, people say, whoa, we haven't done that. And they say, hey, let's do it. And we did it. How many people? Do you even know? I don't remember. How many people were in the wedding?
About 24,000.
And
28 couples. One of them has already grandkids. Yes. And realizing that they are not standing according to the righteousness of God. The word of God was just powerful in them. And they lined up and they planned for the mass wedding. And most of them, we are the, what do you call it, the witness or God?
Yeah, the witness. And then we talk about, man, there are people that get together in the United States almost every day of the year. And they sit and say, hey, there's people in this world that don't have Bibles. How do we get Bibles to them? How do we figure out how to get the Bibles to people without Bibles? And Lito's out there doing it. He's like, I got 600 Bibles and ran out.
Stampede.
But people that don't have
Bibles.
They line up
in the middle, stampede up.
And
you will see that.
Bibles in their language.
Yes.
And so we were able to pass out Bibles in his language. I said, did you have enough? He's like, no, I'm out anymore. Hey, church, we could do that, right? That is something we could do. So while people are talking about doing that, we're like, hey, Lito, you're our connection. You're going to be there. We will get you. We will put the hands on a Bible of anybody who wants one on that island.
Yes.
Right? We will figure out how to do that, how to share God's word. The other thing, and you touched on this a little bit, but this is important. So we're wondering how successful this is. How many of these people are going to come and hear God's word? And Mount Gilead is kind of a hub of disciple making, right? There's a couple people that come in there and then they go out to the tribal lands. And when Lito gets there, he finds out that Mount Gilead is the major hub. That there's several of these hubs out in the hills and out in the tribal areas. And they're trying to send out churches other places. And Lito gets told, hey, you're not working here, man. You're going to be rotation. So you're going to come here, but then you're going to go to this other Bible hub. And you're going to help grow them and teach them to make disciples. And then you're going to do that, I think you said, for a day, right? And then you're going to another one.
Yeah.
Now you've just got to rotate. You've got, like, major hubs of disciples, making disciples throughout Mindanao.
This conference was a revelation to us. We thought Mount Gilead is the only tribal school, a rudimentary Bible training school. It turned out, among the 1,000 who came in, there's a more tribal Bible school center in a rudimentary ways. And I said, well, I think we need to spread out in a way that we're not so thin, like in a marine way, that we're still strong. But we need to spread out. And God provided us 7 days a week. We can do that. And it was a challenge and exciting to see other places, how they conduct. And then one legal thing is to incorporate them also. Honestly, I copy the incorporation of our church and send them over there just to organize them to be of a legal entity. And we accomplished that during the first visit. On the second visit, it's just really overwhelming. And probably we will do the same thing with the other Bible training center.
Guys, God is working. God is doing things all over the world. And He invites us to be a part of it, right? And we can't depend on ourselves. We can't depend on our limitations. He just says, go, and we go, and we trust, and He provides. And we see things that are happening like this all over the world. All over the world, there are people coming to know Christ. There are people growing in Christ. And as disciple makers, we're supposed to be a part of it. And as a church, we get this opportunity and we can see that God is working. When we make disciples, God is working. He is with us and He will be us. And any of those things could you have done without God?
No.
No, right?
No way.
You're just along for the ride.
No.
Right, we're just going, we're just
following orders.
Along for the ride. And he has a video. And I'm going to ask that we play that video, but I'm going to ask that you talk through it. I mean, when I was watching this video, a picture says 1,000 words, but there's just something when he says, that's the river we baptized 30 people in.
A footnote.
Huh?
A footnote.
Yeah, you're going to do footnotes while we watch the video. One more thing before we go.
This mission is also a secondary mission. It's a struggle between communism on the left and Islam on the other side. And in the crossfire, we are there. That is no question. We're past that. You can shoot me anytime. We can die anytime. That we all, the last time I checked, we had all won the day of judgment. But no fear at all.
I also want to share one thing that when we talk about just how things have worked in the past, there's the Hagen family and their International Mission Board missionaries. And they were sent to the Philippines, but they were given a special task that the International Mission Board and New Tribes Missions kind of combined, and they said, hey, we're going to try and do something that's never been done before. We're going to try and reach tribals to reach other tribals. We're going to try and reach tribals to train tribals and to train tribals to be missionaries, and then we're going to send those tribals to the places where we can't get to. And we've got to work with them, and we got to train with them, and we actually got to visit with them in the Philippines. And then I come back, and Little says, hey, I want to work with tribals. I want to figure out how we can reach tribals to reach other tribals so we can send them out. And I said, hey, I got a couple you need to meet. And I emailed them. And they're like, when's he getting off the plane? We will meet him at the plane. Because we have people in the north and we have people in the central. We don't have anybody in Mindanao. And now we've got a hub of where we're going to be making disciples. Who are going to train disciples. So look at that. Let's go to this video. And will you give us footnotes as we watch
it? On what you mentioned, it's better to pick up an insider, train him, and put him back. Right, start. All right. just like that. Pick them up, train them, and put them back in the tribe. That's our goal. That's the view over there, upon reaching Mount Gilead. That's the entrance. That was constructed about 2 weeks before we arrived. Now, these are constructed shanty places for the arrivals. These are arrivals. They built their 5 days sleeping quarter, one of the sleeping quarter. They're mostly ore. I think all of them are Southern Baptist. And they will sleep in this place, about 40, 30 of them, like a sardines. These are the young people. That's the pastor there. And that's Mrs. Medina with the tribe. And this is the classroom that was constructed 2 months before. And that's the night service. I took 3 nights worship. And it's standing room only. Standing room only. And then the Bible announcement distribution, they went stampede. Yes, literally. We cannot afford one line. And they kind of a little bit pushing and shoving in there. These are the Bibles in their language, Cebuano, not the Tagalog. And this is the morning exercise. And then my wife took the females lecture about purity. Young people, high school, all females took them. And these are for the kids. We group them as much as possible. We're running out of space a lot of times and under the tree, the bamboo trees. And then right there in the middle of the rocky places, they sat on the rocks. And this is the church, standing room only. And the theme of the camping or conference is One God, One Nation, One Blood, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they are so innocent, and really soaking whatever he can take from the Word of God. And that's another worship day. And these are the young people. This is Korean lady, another volunteer from Korea, South Korea. That's a miracle girl, actually, developed appendicitis. And livelihood, after training them in the Bibles, we train them how to make tent making income. And there's an athletic time. And also, this is the first day cleaning the kids, just giving them a bath. And these are the Sunday best, the Sunday dressed. These are some of the young people, the high school people that we're supporting. And the weather also turned warm. It's really hot, and we had that. And this is the soft race, the athletic day. And this is a fish fund with tilapia. I don't know what happened to them. Yeah, and literally they are jumping, and I don't know what happened to the tilapia. And this is the graduation of some of the Gilead boys. We call them Gilead boys. Six of them, or five of them, graduated. This is the river that we dam so we can do the baptism. And the first lined up, right there, standing in front. And their pastors and the student graduates. And this is the Friday. And Calvary Church, West Hills. Thank you. That's my wife, Rosemary, and I was way at the corner. And we thank you and we praise God for everything. To God be the glory. And all we need is prayers as we go back there this end of the year.
Guys, that's what it's about. You know, we're looking at those people. No AC. They're getting sprayed down with a hose. We gotta cool off before we go and finish our disciple training. We're looking at the church, and when you see that church is full of church planters, right? Those aren't just one individuals. Those are representing congregations that are going to be spread throughout Mindanao. That's where our focus is. When we talk about making disciples, that's what Christ has called us to do. And that's where we need to step in and do that. And as we learn that when we make disciples, we know that Christ is with us, right? We know that He's with us right now and He is working, and we just have to take that step. But it's the future, right? When He says He's going to be with us always, we always say, always? And Christ says, yeah, always, to the end of the age. And you guys are going. Right? Yeah. So what I want to do right now is if you guys in your... Oh, I didn't bring it up here. I thought I did. Oh, I did. So you got your bulletin. On the backhand side. Right? We made this so you guys can take it and put it on your refrigerator. Put it in your Bible. Put it on your nightstand. But as a sending church, as a church that is supporting the Medinas, we have to make a commitment. We're going to be praying for you. And I ask you, you know, it's really funny because you ask missionaries, what do you need? And sometimes there's the automatic stuff like, oh, we just need your prayers. But we need a car, we need money, we need materials, we need this. And I asked Lito, what do you need? He's like, prayer. I said, yeah, we got it. We're going to pray for you. What do you need? He's like, that's what I need. Like, here are the five things. I'm going to steal this from you. And he has his Bible, and he says, look, these are my prayers I've taped to my Bible. This is what I need. And if the church could be praying for these things, I would be grateful. So I said, we're going to do it. And we put them out. And if you could just take a few minutes, just talk about what some of these prayer requests are. Put some of these in context as we can be praying for you. And this isn't pray for the next 2 weeks until they get back from the short-term mission trip. They are selling their house. They're moving there in September. They're building a straw hut, and they're going to live there. So as often as the Lord puts them on your hearts, you need to pray for them and pray for these things. Lito, what are some of these things?
God revealed to us, among many missionaries, they pray for things, material things. And then I read in the Bible, when God prayed for His 12 disciples, it was already guaranteed that they will be taken care of. That was the promise. Great commission, and then assuredly and always, very strong word. And then He prayed for this thing, and that's one request. My wife and I requesting for these prayers. You can find this in John 17:11. Very, very embedded in our hearts. The first one is that we may be one as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one, my wife and I. And then, the joy of Christ may be full, may be fulfilled in ourselves. The joy of Christ, please pray for that. That God will keep us from the evil one. And that we may be sanctified by His truth. Only His truth, no other ideology that we will insert. Only His truth. This is, it's not, He didn't pray for taking them out of the world or for the safety. No. No. The 12 disciples, they all died. They were all killed, I mean. And that's not the fear. That's not the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to have that kind of a prayer for the fulfillment of His joy, Christ's joy. And then there's another one at the back. Yeah, that's fine. Yep. Thank you. That's all we request, congregation.
We're not going to wait till we get home to pray for you. Okay? And we're not going to wait. So, I know, Rosemary, I'll tell you what. You don't have to come on stage. You can just come right in front. I don't want to embarrass you. Anyway, hey, we want to pray for you now. If the deacons can come forward, just put hands on. And will you come up too, please? And you guys come down here. I told her I wouldn't bring her up on stage. So, this isn't lying. But we just want to pray for you. We are, we're excited for you. Right? And it's we see the great commission being manifested in your guys' lives, and just an example from the church. And this is just as a church, and we're sending you out, and we love you, and we want to know what's going on. And guys, this isn't just a one-time thing. We are going to be in contact and relationship, and we want to know what their prayers are, what their burdens are, right? How we can be praying for them. Each of those Gilead boys that they're sharing Christ with and training with, we want to know their names and how we can pray for them. And this is just the start as we begin to make disciples who make disciples. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to take time right now just to lift up the Medinas to You, Lord. We want to praise You and thank You for the work that You've done in their lives to prepare them for this moment, to travel to a little island in a little country on the other side of the world, and to see and have a heart for each person that lives on that island, to share hope with them, to share Jesus with them. Lord, that they're giving up everything that they have to go and share the good news of Jesus. That they're going to train disciples who make disciples, as we talked about a few weeks ago, about leaving a legacy, as they're going to go and leave Jesus on this island. Lord, we are so grateful that You were with them in the beginning. Lord, we are so amazed when we look at these videos and we see that when we depend on You and we see Your work, it is far greater than anything we can imagine or anything we can think of. But Lord, You are working and Your power is moving. And Lord, we just pray now that as they go, that the promise that You will always be with them will stick in their hearts and stick in their minds. And as they are challenged, as things get difficult, they remember that they're doing Your will and that You are with them and that You are orchestrating every single move that is going on as they move and train and teach and love and do ministry. And they be Your hands and feet and Your arms as they are there in Manila, Lord, or in Mindanao. And Lord, we just pray as a church that we would have Your power and Your grace, and that we would support them as a part of our body, and that we would love them, and that we would be praying for them, and that the Holy Spirit be working in our hearts, and they would be in continual prayer and in our minds, and that we will be lifting them up and praying for their wisdom and their guidance and their protection. And most of all, Lord, we pray for Your power to speak truth to come through them. Lord, we are so excited to see what You're doing in Mindanao. We are so excited to see these churches that are going to be formed and these people that lives are going to be transformed. And Lord, one day when we're at Your throne and we're worshiping You, there's going to be a Gilead boy there. And he's going to be holding a Bible. that he was given by the Medinas. There's going to be a family there that a Gilead boy shared the gospel with. And on that day, we will be singing Holy, Holy, Holy with people, with disciples of yours that you've allowed us to be a part of, Lord. And we're so grateful for that and so excited for that day and when that day comes. Lord, we just love you. We thank you. And it's in your Son's name of Jesus we ask all of these things. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen, guys.